The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today, we are getting into something absolutely fundamental to, well, being human. We're talking about that deep, almost irresistible drive to explore.
This isn't just about, you know, sailing across oceans.
No, not at all. It's about that core impulse that really defines who we are.
It's a huge topic. And to guide us, we're synthesizing the work of historian Stuart A. Weaver. He gives us this incredible history of exploration, but he also, and this is key, forces us to really challenge the heroic myths we've built around it all.
Right. And that's the central tension we're going to unpack, isn't it? Because Weaver presents exploration in these two sort of competing ways. On the one hand, it's this essential, maybe even hardwired drive that's critical for our survival and progress. But on the other hand,
it has so often been a destructive tool, an instrument of empire, of commerce, and raw state power.
And understanding that duality feels more important than ever. I mean, the geographical maps might be mostly full, but we are absolutely opening up new frontiers.
Oh, constantly. Space, the deep sea, genetics, AI.
Exactly. And if we don't get a handle on the motivations, the geopolitics, the commercial drivers that shaped past exploration, we're basically doomed to repeat the same mistakes in these new arenas.
We really are.
So let's start with our guide on this journey. Who is Stuart A. Weaver?
So he's a professor emeritus of history at the University of Rochester. And he's really spent his entire career looking at that intersection between culture and geographical discovery.
And what's so interesting about his perspective is that he's not a geographer.
Yeah.
He's not a former explorer writing a memoir. He's a critical historian.
And his expertise is incredibly broad. It covers everything from medieval history and cartography all the way to, and this is the crucial part, modern British imperialism.
That focus on imperialism feels like the key that unlocks everything.
It is. He's not really interested in just charting the physical routes explorers took. He's charting the power.
So less about the where and much more about the why.
The who, why, and for whose benefit. Who paid for the ships? What did they hope to gain? That's what he digs into.
And that perspective allows him to just step back and see the bigger picture.
Yeah, to analyze how this really noble human impulse to explore gets co-opted systemically. He pulls from anthropology, from history, and somehow makes this really deep critique feel totally accessible. He gives you the historical receipts, you know?
I like that. The receipts for why we need to deconstruct that romantic myth of the lone hero.
That's the one.
Okay, so that brings us right to the heart of Weaver's main idea. He starts with the premise that exploration is, at its root, the engine of human progress.
And not just progress, but survival. He sees it as a fundamental biological and cultural imperative.
He traces this all the way back, right, to early hominids migrating out of Africa.
All the way back. His point is, without that willingness to venture out, to see what was over the next hill,
we wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't be here. It was about finding new resources, adapting to climate change. That impulse is what drove the development of, well, everything, culture, technology, economics. In that sense, exploration is just a basic necessity.
But then comes the big but, the critical counter argument.
Right, because while that impulse might be natural, the history of exploration, especially from the 15th century onwards, is not some simple heroic story.
It's deeply tangled up with empire, with nationalism, with money.
Inextricably. He shows that the moment exploration got expensive, the moment you needed big ships, crews, supplies, protection, it stopped being a purely individual quest.
And it became an instrument of the state.
An instrument of geopolitical strategy. And Weaver traces this conflict, this duality across every single domain, geographical, scientific, intellectual. It's this constant push and pull between a pure human drive and organized power.
Okay, let's dig into that timeline. You mentioned the evolutionary impulse. After that, we get to the ancient world, the Phoenicians, the Greeks.
Right, people like Pythias. They were absolutely sailing into the unknown, but the motivation there was primarily commerce.
They needed stuff.
They needed stuff. New sources of tin, new markets for their goods, and importantly, those early voyages were limited by their tech. They led to trading posts, maybe some small settlements.
But not the kind of huge, globe-spanning colonial empires we see later.
Exactly. Not even close. That shift, starting around the 15th century, is just, it's monumental. And this is where Weaver makes a really critical distinction. He calls that era the so-called Age of Discovery.
So called, that one word changes everything.
It does. He says it's much more accurate to call it the first age of European imperialism. He really wants us to stop using the word discovery.
Because it's so loaded, it instantly reframes it, doesn't it? It's not a benign act of learning anymore. It's an economic, even a military act.
Completely. These weren't research trips. The voyages of Columbus, of Vasco da Gama, these were state-sponsored missions. Strategic. They were fueled by that famous phrase, God, gold, and glory.
Which really means seize the spice routes, get richer than your rivals, and expand your nation's power.
Yes. And Weaver's just unsparing when it comes to the human cost of that. These so-called discoveries led directly to the transatlantic slave trade, to the demographic collapse of indigenous populations across the Americas. It's brutal.
So Columbus, in his analysis, is not some visionary navigator.
No, he's a case study in profound geographical error combined with just staggering greed and violence. It's really hard to hold on to that romantic storybook version after you read Weaver's analysis.
Wow, okay. But exploration isn't just about ships and new lands.
Not at all. And this is one of Weaver's most brilliant moves. He expands the definition to include the intellectual frontier.
So the scientific revolution.
The scientific revolution. Galileo, Newton, Darwin, he says they're all explorers because they're venturing into unmapped possibilities of human understanding. Hypothesis, experiment, that's a voyage.
But, and I'm sensing a pattern here, even that pure quest for knowledge gets tangled up with state power.
It always does. And Captain James Cook is the perfect, really complex example. An undeniably brilliant navigator, a scientist.
But also an agent of the British Empire, unambiguously.
His voyages to the Pacific were meticulously planned strategic missions. They were there to chart coastlines, find resources, timber for masts, flax for sails, and to formally claim territory for Britain.
This is where Weaver makes that crucial point, that the very act of mapping was an act of possession.
Yes.
Can you unpack that a little? How does drawing a map become taking possession?
Well, by naming a place, by classifying it, by drawing these neat European lines on a chart, you take a fluid, complex, indigenous space, a territory that's already known and managed, and you transform it.
You turn it into property.
You turn it into defined, quantifiable, and ultimately exploitable European property. The knowledge Cook generated wasn't for a library. It was immediately plugged into imperial strategy.
And Weaver also points out that science itself was used to justify empire.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Darwin's famous voyage on the HMS Beagle, it gave us the theory of evolution. But the ship's primary mission was a British Navy charting expedition.
And worse, the scientific classification of the world that followed often gave intellectual cover for things like racial hierarchies, which were then used to justify colonial rule.
It's a dark side of the Enlightenment we don't often talk about.
So what happens when the maps are, for the most part, filled in? Late 19th, early 20th century.
The goal of exploration shifts. It becomes about conquering the unconquerable. It's not about finding new places to trade with. It's about conquering extreme environments.
This is the heroic age of Antarctic exploration.
The race to the South Pole. Scott versus Amundsen.
And Weaver's take on that famous tragic story is fascinating. He sees it less as a simple feat of endurance and more as a national spectacle.
Exactly. Scott's failure and death were immediately spun by the British press. He was turned into a symbol of noble, self-sacrificing virtue for the nation.
Even though Amundsen's careful planning and pragmatic approach was actually the superior act of exploration.
It was. It just shows how exploration can be co-opted for purely ideological reasons, for national morale.
So, bringing it to today, the new frontiers are the deep sea, outer space, AI, genetics. Are the motivations the same?
Weaver argues they are constant. He draws a direct line from the old empires to the Cold War space race that was pure national rivalry, driven by geopolitical dominance, and of course, the quest for future commercial gain.
We're still talking about asteroid mining. It's the 21st century version of the 15th century hunt for spices. The continuity is just, it's striking.
It really is. And that leads us right into some of Weaver's key themes. Let's start with that core tension, the evolutionary imperative versus state control.
The message there feels so profound. Exploration is this deep-wired survival need. That part is true. But throughout history, the direction we go and the consequences of that journey have been dictated by power and money.
Which forces you to ask a really uncomfortable question about today. Are our massive investments in space, say, really about ensuring the survival of the species?
Or is it fundamentally about national competition and controlling the next set of resources?
It's probably both, but we need to be honest about the balance.
Another theme you mentioned is the paradox of risk and safety.
Yeah, this one is fascinating. Weaver points out that real progress requires calculated risk, not just recklessness. The great explorers, from Shackleton to the Apollo astronauts, they weren't just bold, they were obsessively prudent. They built systems for survival.
That's so applicable to, business or even just personal development.
Totally. Progress happens when you manage uncertainty systematically. Be bold enough to try the new thing, but be disciplined enough to have a plan B and a plan C.
And finally, the big one, the deconstruction of the word discovery.
He is so blunt about this. He says the whole concept is a Eurocentric fiction, a story told to intentionally erase the presence, the knowledge, and the humanity of indigenous peoples.
It was almost never an encounter with an empty wilderness.
It was a collision of cultures, and
Yeah.
it was usually catastrophic for one side. We have to acknowledge the staggering costs that came alongside the genuine scientific achievements. We have to hold both truths at once.
Some of the phrasing Weaver uses to capture these ideas really sticks with you.
It does. Let's talk about a few of the core ideas. The first one really reframes exploration as a necessity.
Right, the idea that exploration is not the luxury of restless spirits, but the necessity of curious minds seeking survival through understanding.
It makes it a mandatory function of being human, not just a hobby for daredevils.
And then there's the one that links knowledge and conquest. The mapmaker's pen and the soldier's sword were often instruments of the same imperial project.
Oof, that line just changes how you look at an old map forever, doesn't it?
Completely. It makes it clear that cartography was never innocent. It was intelligence gathering for military and economic control.
And he also expands the very definition of who an explorer is. He says the greatest explorers are those who venture not just into unmapped territories, but into unmapped possibilities of human understanding.
I love that. So, a philosopher or a scientist who changes how we think is just as much an explorer as someone who climbs a mountain.
Yes. And finally, there's a thought that grounds all our modern tech in something very human. Technology extends the reach of exploration, but it is human curiosity that determines the direction.
In other words, the tools change, but our intent, our motivation, that's what really matters. That's what decides if the outcome is good or bad.
So now that we have this critical lens from Weaver, how can we apply it in our own lives today?
I think the most immediate application is just developing better media literacy.
For sure. The next time you see a headline about resource exploration, say, drilling in the Arctic or deep sea mining,
Or even one of those stories about uncontacted tribes.
you can apply the Weaver framework. You can ask, who is funding this? Whose story is being left out? Who benefits? It forces you to look right past the adventure story, to see the power dynamics underneath.
It also really challenges us to rethink how we travel and engage with other cultures.
Absolutely. The book kind of nudges you away from that conquering tourist mindset, just ticking places off a
And
list.
towards something more mindful, a more respectful engagement where you actually acknowledge the power dynamics of being a visitor from a wealthy country.
Yeah, it's a big shift in perspective.
For me, my biggest takeaway is just that historical continuity. It's almost shocking. Weaver shows that even though we're sending rovers to Mars, the fundamental drivers are identical to what pushed 15th century sailors across the Atlantic.
Curiosity, competition, and commerce.
It's the same trio,
Yeah.
and it really highlights how crucial it is that we try to channel this incredibly powerful human instinct toward more ethical goals, like, finding sustainable solutions for the planet we're already on.
I think for me, the lasting, really provocative insight is that exploration is never a neutral act. It's just not. And as we watch space become privatized with SpaceX and Blue Origin,
And we hear serious talk about colonizing Mars.
we have to listen to the book's warning. We're absolutely carrying all our old baggage with us: nationalism, exploitation, the works. And the critical question Weaver leaves us with is a heavy one.
Which
Can
is.
humanity finally expand out into the cosmos without just repeating the same destructive imperial patterns that we establish right here on Earth?
A crucial thought indeed. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.